I recently read an article by Mark Hamstein in which he reported a survey that had been conducted by George Barner. And in this survey, they were asking people to either agree strongly or disagree strongly, or you know, that type of thing there, or just disagree or agree mildly, you know, that type of question, and able to check which one it was. And the survey asked to agree or disagree with the statement that there is no absolute truth. That truth can be determined many times by the circumstances, that it changes and even becomes completely opposite depending upon the people and their interpretation and the circumstances involved. And a very high percentage of the people, nearly 70%, agreed that truth changed, that it was relative, that it could vary from one person to another and from one set of circumstances to the other, that truth was circumstantial and varied. If it is true that there is no such thing as absolute truth, then we need to rethink some things. If we cannot know what is true and what is not true, then there are some very serious consequences which have incredible and innumerable effects on our lives. If there is not such a thing as absolute truth. If there's not such thing as absolute truth, then the statements made in the Bible are not absolutely truthful. So it would be foolish for us to completely trust those things and to have faith in them and to depend upon them as infallible guides if there is no such thing as truth. And if there is not any absolute truth, we can never know that what we believe and practice is the right or the best way. If there is no absolute truth, then we can never know for certain but what people like Timothy McVeigh do, what is best and righteous, if there is no such things as absolute truth. In fact, if you, I was shocked this morning and I turned on Brother Mac Lyon's lesson and he had stole my sermon this morning. He had the same thing, talking about some of the same things. He used the illustration. He said during one of the interviews where the people were interviewing about the bombing in Oklahoma City, someone made the comment that a lot of good things had come out of the bombing. And then some commentator made the statement, well, you know, we can never know what is best, as if that was a good thing that happened in Oklahoma City, and we couldn't really know whether it was a good thing or not. That's really muddied thinking, it seems to me, to question that whether that was good or bad. But if there is no absolute truth, then we can't know whether it was good or bad. We can never know for certain. But here's the thing about it. If there is no such thing as absolute truth, then we can never know for certain that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Now that becomes rather foolish, doesn't it? Repeat that, because some of you may not have caught it. If there is no such thing as absolute truth, then we can never know for certain that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Is there absolute truth about anything? What is absolute truth? Well, I looked inside Mayberry, looking dictionary about look up the word truth. I think we all know what it means. But it said it had reference to sincerity, veracity, genuineness, that which conforms to the facts of reality, characterized by being in accord with what is, what has been, or what must be. Vine, in his dictionary of Greek words, defined the Greek word as meaning manifest, actual, true to the facts, conforming to reality. And then the word absolute simply means, as it's defined by Webster, free from imperfections, perfect, free from mixture, pure, as absolute alcohol, pure alcohol, and positive, certain, also authoritative, also not dependent or relative. In other words, it's not dependent upon anything else. It's not dependent upon circumstances or characteristics or anything like that. Ultimate, intrinsic. For an example, 2 + 2 = 4, isn't it? That's absolute truth. If you were to look on your driver's license, is the information given there about you absolute truth? If you, maybe it says your eyes are blue. Mine says my eyes blue and says my hair is blonde, and it gives my weight as being about 180 pounds. If I'd gained 50 pounds since then it wouldn't be truth. But thank the Lord, it's still the truth there. That's absolute truth. It tells us that as it really is, as the circumstances are. My telephone number at the house, 262-2682. If you ring 262-2681, you won't get me. It just takes to change one little digit, and it's no longer the true number. A doctor's degree is not needed. Brother Mack made this point this morning. I thought it was pretty good, so I've penciled this in my notes here for us too. Is it a doctor's degree is not needed to know what the truth is? He says, suppose that they're swearing in a witness on the stand for a trial, like at the O.J. trial. And he's going to have to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But what's the truth, Judge? The truth, do you mean my truth, Judge, or your truth, or shall I tell the truth for the defendant, or the truth for the prosecution? If there is no such thing as truth, then the truth can vary. It can be different. It's relative. And how it makes a farce of our judicial system if there is no such thing as truth. How can you put a man on trial if the truth cannot be determined, if there is no such thing as absolute truth? And then he used the example also of a father, Admin, who's questioning his son about something that happened. Maybe that the father found something broken, and he'd been in the room there, and this big bang, and he goes in and finds that there's a bunch of things falling off of the table there on the floor, and they're all in pieces. And father says, "Now I want you to tell me what happened. Tell me the truth about it. What happened?" Well, he's to tell it. He means he's to tell it exactly as it took place, in what according to reality. No, we know what truth is. Is there any absolute truth? Do you know any absolute truth? Excuse me. I've got a bottle here. I told David here when he'd come up to lead the singing not to drink my Pepsi Cola there. That's not Pepsi Cola in this bottle. Here, Sam, would you tell me what you think's in this bottle? Just take a whiff there. See, tell me what you think's in that bottle.
Kerosene.
Kerosene?
Or gasoline.
Or gasoline? Jackie, what do you think? Gasoline? You'd agree with that, gasoline? I have something else here in my pocket. A little box of matches. What's going to happen if I strike one of these matches? My wife said, don't you... What's going to happen if I strike one of these matches and I light this thing right here? I pull that match up too. It's gasoline. That's what it is. You know how to make a bomb? When we was back in Africa about 20 years ago, that's the way they used to make bombs like that. And light those things and with a long fuse and throw them in. They did a lot of terrorism that way. I know, and you know, absolute truth, if I put a match to this gasoline, it's going to make a little boom, isn't it? It's going to explode. Now, I'm going to set it down here out of the way. Here's the match, dear. Okay, here's the match. I'm putting it back in here. That's absolute truth. We know that. If you open a new checking account and you deposit a check for $1,000 in it, and you just write two checks during the whole month and you get your bank statement, and it shows that you're overdrawn, or maybe you get one little slip special to, you know, the mail out special in the mail and says you're overdrawn, and you have written two checks, one of them for $100 and the other one for $300. And you go to the bank and you say, look, I only wrote checks totaling $400 and I deposited $1,000 in the bank. And the banker says, well, says, we really can't know how much your check was worth that you deposited in the bank, you know. We don't really know. I mean, there's no absolute truth. You see how foolish it becomes to say there is no such thing as absolute truth? You know the absolute truth, don't you? You know you still got $600 left in there. No, it's possible to know things for certain. We all recognize absolute truth in many fields of knowledge, in mathematics, chemistry, physics, biology, medicine. We recognize that there is such a thing as absolute truth. It seems that it's only when it comes to God's moral and spiritual laws that some argue that there are no absolutes, that there is not any pure truth. For example, this just occurred this last week. I heard about something pertaining to this one commandment given in the scriptures, one of the Ten Commandments, as a matter of fact, was thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of God's laws. That's a law that it is sin, it is wrong, it is destructive to us. But some people would argue, well, you know, that's just your interpretation of it. Or they would want to know, what do you really mean by adultery? Some people would argue that it's, you know, that's just somebody's opinion about it that's recorded there in the pages of the Bible. There was just this past week, as I mentioned, I heard on the news some interviews done of some famous people. Many of them lived out in Hollywood. They were asked if they believed that infidelity in their marriage was wrong, or infidelity in marriage was wrong. And several of them replied, no, it wasn't necessarily wrong, because if it made you a better person, or it made your marriage better, I don't know how that could possibly be, but some of them believe that. If it made your marriage better, then it wasn't really wrong to commit adultery. Is there no absolute truth about it? Certainly there is in God's word. But again, that illustrates that people want to argue about what's absolutely true when it comes to God's moral and spiritual laws. When it comes to the necessity of baptism, God's word says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Peter wrote 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the washing with the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. In Acts 22:16, Saul was told by Ananias, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. But people say that's just your interpretation of it. And argue that it's not necessary, that it's not for the forgiveness of sins, not necessary in order to be saved, and that one is saved before and even without baptism. And sometimes people will say, well, when so many good people disagree about a thing like that, you know, there's a whole lot of opinions about what that verse really means. There's only one opinion we better be concerned about, and that's God's. What did God mean by it? But a lot of times people will think, well, when so many good people, so many religious leaders all disagree about what the meaning of that passage is, how can we be certain? And then pretty soon people begin to think, well, maybe it really doesn't make any difference. Since people disagree, then maybe we ought to just conclude that it doesn't matter what you believe, and that we can disagree about what the truth is and still be saved. In fact, a lot of church leaders seem to be apologizing for the truth and for being narrow. And they don't want to be accused of being narrow by the world and won't stand for what the scriptures say, but they want to accept what this religious leader says or what this church teaches about it or what some religious authority says about it. And so try to, maybe it doesn't make a whole lot of difference because all these good people disagree about it. So we can't be narrow-minded about it. Is the truth like that? Can we just take a consensus of what people believe and conclude that, well, that's the truth then? Are people and opinions of people the source of truth? Certainly not. The Bible confirms that there is absolute truth and that we can know it. The source of truth is God. Man is not the source of truth. He is not the authority to determine what is truth. Man only tries to discover what is truth. I've heard many people say such things like, well, I believe such and such, or I think such and such, and they state this as if their opinion is trustworthy and true. Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not within himself. It is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. Man has believed and accepted some very foolish things which we know are not truth. One of them simply that the earth is flat. And we know it's not true. Doctors centuries ago used to try to cure many diseases by bloodletting. Let the blood bleed out. We know now that they simply killed a lot of people by letting of blood. There are a lot of things that people have believed and was the consensus of opinion, the consensus of the authorities in the field, and it was wrong. It was not the truth. The man is not the source of truth. God is the source of all truth. Romans 3 and verse number 4 says, Lot, let God be true, or let God be found true, and every man a liar. Psalms 119 and verse 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them or make them pure through thy word is truth. Psalms 119 verse 142, your righteousness is as an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. The mission of Jesus was to reveal the complete, absolute truth. John 1 and verse 9, it says of him, he was the true light, which gives light to every man. In John 1, 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 1, 17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And in John 14 and 6, Jesus affirmed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now note that. If Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and we've got to come to the Father by him, then we come by the truth, the way, and the life, which is Jesus Christ. The apostles were guided into all truth, John 16, verse 13. Jesus told them when the Holy Spirit come, he would bring to their remembrance all things. He says that I've said unto you, guide you into all truth. They wrote that down so that we might have the truth. This is the truth revealed to us from God. He is the source of truth. It is absolute. It does not vary with circumstances, nor change with people, or geographic conditions, or places upon the earth. It is the truth that saves. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. James 1 verse 18 says, of his own will brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. And Jesus said in John 8 verse 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's talking about being free of sin and the consequences of the wrath of God for sin. But if we continue in the truth, he says, you shall know, then you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth. We can know the truth. It is done by continuing in his word. Continuing to abide within it as we study it and as we grow. Timothy 2 verse 15 tells us to study or to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the truth, but we must rightly divide it. And we are warned of error and false teachers in God's word. 1 John 4 and verse number 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, for there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. There are many false teachers, many false prophets. We must try them, he says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, Paul writes to Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What's sound doctrine? It means healthy teaching, the absolute truth, that which is right. They will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. God's word is the truth, and we can know it. If there was not any absolute truth revealed by God, it would not be necessary to try
teachers or to study the word of truth. We could just accept whatever came along if there was no absolute truth. We wouldn't be warned about false teachers and false teaching and false prophets and about people turning away from the truth. It has always been the truth that God has revealed to us from the very beginning. And it's not always easy to know the truth. Sometimes it's very difficult. There's a trial been going on out in California now for how many months? Is it? I've lost track now. People trying to find what is the truth, isn't it? Most of us already pretty well know what is the truth, but anyway, it's not always easy to find the truth. Sometimes you go to, in the medical profession, doctors don't always know all the answers, and it's difficult to know the truth. And you can go to different doctors. You know, a lot of us in here have back problems, for example. Let me tell you a secret. Doctors don't always know all the answers to back problems. In fact, you can go to one doctor and they'll probably tell you need to do this, need to do something else. And you go to another one and they'll probably tell you something else. And they don't always know all the answers. We had an experience this week where some advice was given to my wife that from the doctor's nurse that we deal with, that was completely contrary to any other advice we'd ever heard from any other medical professionals. Sometimes it's difficult for them to know the truth. It's not always easy to know. And it's not always easy to know the truth that comes from God's word. That's my point. That's why we are to study. And we should not just simply give up in frustration and say there is no absolute truth. And say when so many other people disagree, how can I expect to know it? You've got to study it for yourself. You've got to determine what did God say by it, not what did this man thinks it says or what's the opinion of this person over here. But there is absolute truth, and we're to be diligent to present ourselves a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That calls for diligent study. Be diligent in the study of it. That's the only way we'll come to know the truth. Oh yes, there's truth. If there is no absolute truth, then we can really never know if God exists or not. You see, that's what the whole thing's about. This message comes from Satan. Because that message is from Satan. Well, you can't know what the truth is. You can't know whether God exists or whether the Bible is true. And you can't know. You can't even know if you exist, you know, if there isn't any absolute truth. You can't know whether you exist or not. My friends, we can know the truth. How foolish to think that you can't. You know, if you had a disease, maybe you had cancer. Doctors diagnose you with cancer. And you go to the doctor and you say, well, now, doc, what should we do about this? And he says, well, some people think this is a good type of thing to do, you know. Somebody thinks, well, you could try radiation, or you might try some of taking some vitamins for it, or they've got some Laetril that you can get down to Mexico and you can try that for it. There's not any absolute truth about how to treat you. What would you do? I'd say, so long. I'm going to somebody that knows some truth. When it comes to spiritual matters, we better put our lives in the hands of somebody who knows the truth. God's word is absolute truth, and we need to be obedient to it. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Is that the absolute truth? It sure is. He said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Is that the absolute truth? It sure is. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, he said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Is that the absolute truth? It sure is. Mark 16, verse 16, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Is that the absolute truth? It sure is. Day of Pentecost, Peter said, when those people believed that they had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and cried out and asked men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Is that the absolute truth? It sure is. Have you done those things? These scriptures instruct us to study, give diligence in doing it. It tells us to grow. It tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. It tells us of the worship and how we're to worship. Are those things the absolute truth? They are. And our responsibility is to be obedient unto them. Are you being obedient to the absolute truth as revealed in God's word? If not, think of your condition. What hope if you're not obedient to God's truth? Won't you submit to it this morning if you need to do so? While we stand and sing, will you not come?